Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
The first hour of Soccer Matters is brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, a big thank you to the Texas Children's Hospital. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5 is on the air. We're looking forward to some real good soccer football talk tonight, and thank you for tuning in on the heels of the Blitz and the legendary Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman. First hour, as always, presented by the Texas Children's Hospital. We appreciate everything they do down there, one of the great shining lights in the medical center. Lots to talk about here tonight. The Premier League opened up with real interest, mistakes as expected, players absent, points being taken by teams like Manchester United, Manchester City, Chelsea, Spurs. Oh, yeah, and in Klopp, we trust Liverpool. So let's get your takes tonight on the Premier League. How about your impressions on the first weekend of Premier League play? A lot of people saying it's come very, very quickly and too soon. I am going to mention what was on the bench for Manchester City, which is absolutely remarkable at some point in this show. 713-780-3776. Is the number. Friday, the Serie A will begin with Girona. The Serie A does kick off on Friday, but so does the Spanish League. Girona, Real Valladolid, Real Betis, and Levante. And then the Serie A and Cristiano Ronaldo kick off as well. So Serie A and La Liga getting underway. Dynamo in action on Saturday against Real Salt Lake. You can catch that game on the Cube. Or better yet, get over to HoustonDynamo.com, get your tickets. I'm going to give you some tickets tonight, so be ready. I've also got four packs to the Houston Dash coming up, courtesy of Bud Light. So a tremendous amount of giveaway action tonight here. But as always, we want your phone calls at 713-780-3776. So BBVA Compass Stadium is going to be a busy place this week. Friday night, the Dash will be in action. They're taking on the Washington Spirit. And by the way, Dash only 4 points out of a playoff spot. Perfect opponent. And they got a great crack at beating the Washington Spirit. Then next Saturday, Sky Blue, who, by the way, Carly Lloyd's team, have not won a game. They're 46 points behind the leaders, North Carolina Courage, in the table, which is remarkable. So I don't know what's going on in with Sky Blue. So we're also going to have a number of different guests on the show tonight. AJ De La Garza coming back from his injury will be on the show. Brian Shiretta of American Soccer Now. Now, he's got a lot of really good information on a lot of the young players that are overseas. Always like having him on. He's from Morristown, New Jersey. Brian Shiretta on the show tonight. We're going to talk about Tim Weah at Paris Saint-Germain. Plus, he's got some incredible news about a couple of academy products that Real Salt Lake have made a huge investment into that are probably just going to walk, and they're not going to get anything for them. Tom Marshall, ESPN FC. 37,000 fans for Tigres and Rayados. Women's soccer yesterday. That is remarkable for the women's game in Mexico. There will ultimately be big winners with the Mexican national team. 37,000 people. And that, you know, is obviously about the brand Rayados and Tigres, no doubt. Kyle Beckerman, we're going to give him a call shortly. He will be on the show, too. Now, don't forget, Real Salt Lake's going to come in on Saturday to take on the Houston Dynamo. It's their third game in 7 days. Wilmer Cabrera has called this a must-win game. We're going to play some of his sound a little later. He has called it a must-win game. He's called it our final. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. That's where you want to go tonight. The great Ronaldo, the Brazilian version of Ronaldo, World Player of the Year, now 41, was in an Ibiza hospital after being treated for pneumonia. So he's had some medical problems. I don't think there's any question the great Ronaldo. So what's on your football mind tonight? What's the biggest topic on your mind? Is it Dynamo? Is it Dash? Is it Premier League? Chelsea fans, how are you feeling after your result? Manchester United fans, you got a victory. What do you think about your opening match? Manchester City fans, what do you think? Let's get your thoughts here. A lot of fixtures this weekend that are going to be very, very interesting. By the way, Wolverhampton got a goal from Raul Jimenez, the Mexican international, to end up getting a draw in their game. So a lot to talk about there. 713-780-3776. Call in, weigh in, be a part of the show. Facebook Soccer Matters, Twitter Glenn Davis Sock, Instagram, hit me up there at Glenn Davis Sock as well, or on Twitter during the show. College season getting underway this weekend for U of H, Rice, University of Texas, HBU, St. Thomas, and teams all around the country. Texas A&M, we mentioned them, I think. University of New Mexico, by the way, in July. Historic legendary program dropped on the men's side. Jeremy Fishbein, the coach there. They were in an NCAA College Cup. We can talk Dynamo at Columbus. Anybody have the answer to the Dynamo conceding late goals? What do you think it is? 713-780-3776. News on Jeff Cameron. News on the Italian Serie A. How will Cristiano Ronaldo do in the Serie A? Is he going to bang goals in easily in the Italian Serie A? You tell me. Juventus excited to have him. Are you going to watch the Serie A because of Cristiano Ronaldo being there? All right, so he will play in his first Serie A match coming up. All right, let's go to the phone line, 713-780-3776. Cesar, you're up. What's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, how's it going, man?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Tomorrow is the UEFA Super Cup, and it's the Madrid derby. What do you see in that game? You know, what's your takes? What you're going to be here? Because your analysis of how it's
I'm not going to give you a lot of analysis because it's so early in the season, Cesar. I think what we do is we watch that game and we take some pieces out of that. You know, this is going to be our look at Real Madrid, your team. Sans Cristiano Ronaldo. I think that's part of it. Of course, Atletico Madrid and Diego Simeone. I'm sure this is going to be a fiery game. People are going to be up for it. No question about it. But I think a lot of the Super Cup is just we watch it. We make some judgments. We can't make too many judgments.
Glenn, I can barely hear you on the other end.
Yeah.
So it's just the volume's low.
I don't know. I don't think so. It could be on your end. Do you have? Are you on a cell phone, Cesar?
Hi, man. I guess I'll just hang up and I'll listen, man. But thank you.
Okay, thank you, Cesar. So, anybody have anything to say about the Super Cup? I don't have much to say about it. It's two great teams. It's two great clubs. It's two teams that do have some questions. I think more for Real Madrid going into the season, and of course, it's the first time they're going to be without Cristiano Ronaldo. So, a lot to be considered in watching that one. Let's go to AY. AY, what's on your mind tonight?
Ben, good evening. How are you doing?
Good evening, AY.
Yes, okay. You just said what we saw with our teams during the weekend. And I want to say with Chelsea, the 3-0 win over Huddersfield Town, for me, it was okay, but Huddersfield Town is not a standard for us to judge where we are. But by next weekend or come Saturday against Arsenal, I will to say yes, whether Chelsea is getting there or not. But it was a good start with N'Golo Kante now coming forward because of Jorginho. You know, Jorginho is now playing the holding midfield role for Chelsea instead of N'Golo Kante. So N'Golo Kante has come into the attack. Also, Chelsea still needs a number 9. Our number 9, that's Morata. Morata is not it, sorry to say. And I don't think Olivier Giroud is better. So if Chelsea can get a number 9, we'll go all the way. That number 9 position. And luckily, Hazard might be staying because rumors from Stamford Bridge says that he might be the official captain. But we don't know yet.
Well, I thought it was an impressive game for Chelsea. AY, listen, Huddersfield Town is Huddersfield Town. They defend deep. You got to get the game's first goal. You did. You know, to see Conte score, I think, was impressive. It's a good thing. But, you know, you look at teams like Huddersfield and you say, how do they survive in this league? Because when you're watching that game, the talent gap is just enormous between Chelsea and them. Just enormous. So I think it's a good start. Anytime you have a new manager and he gets a result in the first game, no matter who you're playing, it is a good start. And I think we got to be careful not to put too much weight into all these opening games. I think we're pretty clear that Liverpool and Manchester City are going to be the two teams really fighting for the title at this point. And I think there's a lot to be learned from the Arsenals, the Chelseas, and the Manchester Uniteds, and even Spurs to an extent.
Yes, I fully agree with you. Also, talking about Manchester City, no, they are above the rest. There's not what I saw on Sunday at the Emirates. Oh no, even it's just they are above the rest, and they are not. Come to think of it, they only bought Mahrez. They didn't buy any other player, so the championship team adding Mahrez to that team is going to only be stronger, and they are all young. So it's a nice one. So Glenn, as usual, I'll talk to you again next week or whenever you come on the radio.
You got it, AY. AY, thank you very much. We appreciate you calling in. Great to talk to you. And so AY talking to Arsenal there. Look, Manchester City's bench, I think it was like Sané came off the bench. Ridiculous. 59,000 people at Arsenal. It was a 2-0 victory for Manchester City. Liverpool 4-0 over West Ham United. These are two teams you can't not want to watch. I don't think there's any question. If you're a Premier League fan, who doesn't want to watch those two attacking teams with goalkeepers that play with their feet that are literally field players? Who doesn't want to watch that? I mean, it's destination, right? All right, Nathan wants to drop us some Dynamo talk here. All right, let's go to Nathan. Nathan, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn, I love the show. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure. I'm
very perplexed by the Dynamo, just, you know, their back line this season. I know going into it, they've had a lot of injuries to the basis, and Remick's been out, Delgado's been out, but just it seems like this team has not solved that issue, and I'm kind of disappointed with the transfer window closing and them not addressing that. What do you think about like this team going forward? Like that back line is definitely an issue that needs to be fixed.
Yeah, so the Dynamo have conceded a lot of goals from the 80th minute on. Now, to be fair to them in the Columbus game, I thought they had a very good plan. I thought the players were engaged for the full 90 minutes, and then in stoppage time, they dropped their guard. Now, you can complain about the ref all you want. You can break that play down in a million and one ways, and not really that many, but a number of plays. So if we're going to take it from the accountability of the Dynamo, you would say Adam Lundqvist probably should have, in a perfect world, gotten pressure on the cross or the ball. I think it was Affle, right? Then you have to look at Machado and Kevin Garcia. Are we playing for a guy? Are we holding a line here for a guy to run himself offside? Should we defend more honestly there at that point and go with that runner and Jossie Zardes? These are all questions you have to answer yourself. People have talked about potentially offside. If, in fact, it was touched by Patrick Mullins, it would have been offside. I don't think it was. And I think, like all of us, we thought, well, was he influencing the play? Obviously not in the mind of Mark Geiger. Now, what I think partially the problem is, and I don't think anybody can argue with this, is that the back four is normally the stability of your team. It's four guys that end up having a lot of minutes throughout the year. They are consistent. It's a group that works together. And the back four for the Dynamo has been in and out due to injuries, suspensions. I think we have to be fair, some older players that maybe aren't capable of playing back-to-back over 4 days. And I think that's got to be a big part of the problem. And that's also difficult for goalkeepers as well. Because
differing center backs and outside backs have differing tendencies and qualities, and you have to know them. And we asked Joe Willis about this, and he said it is something you have to be very, very conscious of. So I think that's a bit of the problem. I think Fuenmayor getting sent off has not helped things. And I think he's probably one for the future. But I just think the differing players and the differing back four and a lack of consistency there has to hurt you. It's difficult. I don't think any question. And I do think the center back position ultimately has to be manned by two players. And it's got to be pretty consistent. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened. Now, remember last year that did happen quite consistently with Adolfo Machado and Leonardo, who had tremendous seasons last year. I mean, I thought those two guys were great. Anything else, Nathan? I got to take a quick break here. We're up on a hard break. Anything else?
No, that's it. Thanks, Glenn.
Okay, thank you very much for your phone call. So you can weigh in, 713-780-3776. You can let us know what you think the Dynamo late goal conceding problem is. At Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, they are the largest pediatric cancer in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, 200 active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. We're going down there on Friday. We got a ton of soccer balls that was putting air in them today. So we're going to go down there on Friday and visit some patients. Also, quick word here right now. I got a four-pack to the Houston-Washington Spirit. Okay, Houston-Washington Spirit this Friday. The friendship between Bud Light and soccer fans goes back over 30 years, ever since the first Bud Light rolled out of the Houston Brewery. Now join us at BBVA Compass Stadium this Friday night as your Dash take the pitch against the Washington Spirit. Call in now, and you can win tickets for you and 10 of your closest friends. Okay, so we're going to give a 10-pack away here. This is pretty crazy. We're giving 10 tickets away now. You could be a superstar to your friends courtesy of Bud Light and the Houston Dash right now. While you are all there, stop by the Bud Light Bunker for a cold beer, cold Bud Light, and the best view of the match. Bud Light brewed deep in the heart of Texas. So right now, we're tossing you a 10-pack of tickets, okay? You're going to make your friends, you're going to blow them away with this. 10-pack of tickets right now at 713-780-3776. Fifth caller gets them, 713-780-3776. We'll take a Bud Light break.
This is Kareem Jackson, and you listen to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, at Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Centers, they are the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories down in the medical center. It's a shining star here in Houston. 200 active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. It's a place we go often. It's a place we're going on Friday to hand out soccer balls. And for more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital has pioneered many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. So amazing doctors down there, amazing people dealing with these children. It's an amazing place from therapists to nurses. I mean, these people are 100% in. It's amazing. And there's patients that come from all over the world. All right. Great friend of the show. We've enjoyed watching his career with both the national team, Real Salt Lake. He's Kyle Beckerman, kind enough to jump on the phone here after just landing in Los Angeles, where RSL will play tomorrow night against LAFC. Kyle, thank you very much for coming on.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Glenn.
It's always a pleasure to have you on. So listen, I had promised my listeners just to mention who was on the bench for Manchester City yesterday. So I want to run this by and just get your reaction to this. So here was the Manchester City bench yesterday. Kevin De Bruyne, Leroy Sané, Vincent Kompany, Claudio Bravo, Nicolas Otamendi, and Phil Foden. Not a bad bench, huh?
Not bad at all.
So let's get into Real Salt Lake. You got a heavy week here. By the time you get to Houston, it'll be your third game in 7 days. So we're not going to jump ahead to that, but we're going to talk about your game against LAFC. And how about just a general sort of look at your season as one of the great veterans of RSL?
Yeah, it's been interesting. You get into that first part of the season, teams are amped, everybody's coming off preseason, feeling good our year, and it's in a little bit, and you get to the games, and then the dog days of summer come around, and games change, it's a bit slower, it's the heat and the travel, and so it makes the games a little different, and then you kind of find yourself like right in the thick of things, and now we're sitting at like 11-10 games left. So far it's been a good season. I think right now we're a gritty young team. We're grinding out, every day. We're trying to grind. We're trying to improve as a team.
I don't know if we lost Kyle. Kyle, we still got you? I think we may have lost Kyle. Well, it's... Yeah, I think we lost Kyle, so we'll try and phone him up again. So RSL comes to town against the Dynamo on Saturday. That is an 8 p.m. kickoff. Game is also on the Cube, so you can join Eddie Robinson, myself, and Cindy Bourbano on the Cube. But better yet, get your tickets at HoustonDynamo.com. I'm going to give some tickets out tonight. In fact, right now, the fourth caller, if you want a pair of tickets to the Dynamo RSL, you can call in right now at 713-780-3776. We'll try to get Kyle Beckerman back on the show as well. But this is a big one for the Houston Dynamo, and we're going to play some sound in a little bit. The Dynamo now 7-10-6, or 6-4-2 at home, but have lost three in a row at home, which is a real rarity. And this is the game the Dynamo can get it back on track. Also, Thursday, tickets for the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup will go on sale. Okay, so we got Kyle Beckerman back. Kyle, thank you very much.
Yeah, sorry, I lost you there.
No, that's okay. So you're giving us a synopsis on the season, and you talked about the youth on the team and the youth policy at that club. I would imagine there's a lot of responsibility on you as the older veteran here, working with the young guys on your team and setting the example and tone, you and Nick Raimondo.
Well, I mean, of course, it's a huge part, whether they're young or not. Myself, Nick, we got to bring it every day. You got to show by example or lead by example and speak when it needs to be said. But these guys, they've earned their...
Okay, I think we're having trouble with Kyle's connection again. So we're working on that again. So I mentioned the Dynamo back at home. And then this Thursday, Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup tickets will go on sale. $29 is the lowest ticket prices. I believe these are set by U.S. Soccer. Okay, so that will be this Thursday. They will go on sale. The Dash coming off a 2-1 win against Sky Blue. Sky Blue... And then this Friday, the Dash will be taking on the Washington Spirit. So get out, see Kaleo High, Jane Campbell. Rachel Daly now is one of the top goal scorers in the league with 9. I think she's number 4 in the league. Sofia Huerta is up in the category of some of the top assist players. Jane Campbell is a player that's been in with the national team out of Stanford. So get down and see the Dash. We just gave out a 10-pack. We'll give out more a little bit later here today. 713-780-3776, first hour brought to you by the Texas Children's Hospital. A lot of Premier League fixtures coming up this weekend, and some anticipated matches as well. If you're an Arsenal fan, what did you think of your first match? Arsenal... going down 2-0 to Manchester City. Liverpool fans, they were over at the Gorgeous Gale. They're certainly happy after a 4-0 victory over West Ham United.
Arsenal started a 19-year-old young midfielder now. Elneny apparently is going to be potentially shipped out. Bernardo Silva scored in the second half, racing across the top of the box for Manchester City. Sterling had scored in the 14th. This is a two-horse race. If we're looking from the outside right now, just based on Manchester City and Liverpool's off-season, where they sit, Manchester United, Arsenal, Spurs, Chelsea, who out of that group can contend with City and Liverpool, you think? There's some time that's going to be needed at certain places with new managers in place, but who is going to come out of those groups when it comes to challenging Manchester City this year? Is there anybody who's going to challenge Manchester City? Is Liverpool legitimately going to do it now, finally, with a good goalkeeper? 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. We're going to try to get Kyle Beckerman back. He's going to try to call us from a landline. We really appreciate that. Now, Jeff Cameron, the former Houston Dynamo at Stoke, apparently has been deemed surplus to requirements. When a team goes from the Premier League and is relegated, lots of things happen. You sometimes divest yourself of certain players and salaries. Jeff now at 33 years of age. The manager is Gary Rowett now. Cameron's had a wonderful run in the Premier League. Amazing story. And you got to watch him right here in Houston, blossoming with the Houston Dynamo. Werder Bremen and Rayo Vallecano, two teams that are being linked with Cameron. Cameron's been at Stoke since 2012. What a way to end it, by going to the Bundesliga or Rayo Vallecano in Spain's La Liga. I mean, the adventure would continue for Jeff. 713-780-3776. We had heard there was some conversation with Jeff in Major League Soccer as well. But Jeff Cameron, Stoke getting relegated, looks to be on his way out. And again, our number is 713-780-3776. Italian Serie A will start this weekend. Now, there's a lot of intrigue always around the Serie A. And we'll get the good, we'll get the bad, we'll get the ugly, and we'll get Cristiano Ronaldo. The drama in the Serie A will play out this year. It'll be a good watch. Ronaldo will have, pulling the strings behind him, Dybala. Now, you might think about the defensive tactics of the Serie A, and that may be slightly a lost art, because they did average 2.68 goals per game last year, the same as the Premier League. So don't fall into the trap of saying, because it's the Serie A and Catenaccio and defend first mentality. That is changing, and I think that's changing all over the world. Let's go to Robert. Robert, what do you got?
Glenn, how you doing?
I'm good, Robert. How are you?
Oh, goodness. You're out.
Okay,
Robert. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can. How are you, Robert? Okay.
Okay, here's what I got. I got a U12, well, they're 12 now, U12 girls soccer team.
Okay.
Now, last season, the last four games, the teams, what they did was is they left everybody back except for one and put her at midfield. Now, I did some checking, and what it looked like or what it sounded like on paper was called Pack the Bunker, which is what they used back in 98, France used, in the World Cup. I'm trying to figure out, how do I beat it?
Well, first of all, you got 12-year-old girls, and any coach that is putting a bunch of girls back and telling them to stand in front of the goal shouldn't be coaching a youth soccer team. So that's first off. That's not how you develop young soccer players, sadly. That's a little disturbing to me, to be quite honest with you. To beat compact defenses, it's all about technique, but we're talking about 12-year-olds here. Do you do a lot of work with your girls technically? In other words, you know,
yes, a lot of footwork drills with and without the ball. Because my thought is that they need to be able to move without the ball as well as they do with.
Well, of course, but I think when you're dealing with 12-year-olds, you want them on the ball more often than not. So It's got to be a lot about the balls, because your direction, Robert, as a coach, is setting them up for the future. You don't want a kid to come through and all of a sudden be 16 or 17 relying on athleticism and all of a sudden can't control or pass a ball and now can't make the impact that she once did because she's been driven physically. Your responsibility.
I spent half my practice on that.
Yeah, well, I hope you're spending even more than half, because I you got a big responsibility. And I, you know, when I hear that somebody's doing that with 12-year-old soccer players, I just cringe here. I'll tell you a quick story here that I've seen college teams, and I've seen girls come in as freshmen that were incredibly athletic and got to play their first year. Lots of athleticism. As the recruiting classes kept coming in, the players coming in were more technical, better soccer players. And I'm talking women's college soccer here. And what happened was these girls that were all of a sudden playing a lot in their freshman and sophomore year, by the time they were getting into their senior year, weren't seeing the field because the young technical players that were coming in, they couldn't compete. And the difference in quality between the two were too much. So I really don't want to answer how you're going to break down a 12-year-old opponent who's sitting people back. I think when you play these games on weekends, it's all about improving, accelerating player development, accenting the positive, which is, you know, good ball possession, players taking people on. But if you're talking about compact defenses with 12-year-olds, man, it's almost scary for me that anybody would even do that with the youth team. And those people need to be called out. I don't know who's doing that, but they do need to be called out, because, you know, our problem in this country is that we're making decisions to win games with 10 and 11 and 12-year-olds when it really has to be about setting a fundamental base so that they have the ability to move on in the game and they have the technical proficiency so that they can take the game in a differing direction and in a way that they're going to enjoy the sport more. So that's really all I got, Robert. But hats off to you. If you're really doing all that technical work with them, good for you.
Well, I'm trying. I'm really trying.
Here's the other thing you can't be afraid of. Bring somebody in if you want help. I don't know if you're a former player or what, but if you need somebody to demonstrate, find somebody. And there's plenty of people that will help you. And don't be afraid to ask for the help, because if you get somebody that's an ex-college player out there and can demonstrate and show people specific movements with the ball, you're going above and beyond the call of duty for those young girls. So don't be afraid to do that. And you know, just keep being the positive influence you are, because we need positive people out there amongst young youth players.
Okay. Well, I mean, you gave me an avenue.
All right, Robert. Thank you very much for calling in tonight. I appreciate that.
Thank you.
I love that when people from the youth community call in. I think that's a big part of it. I spent a lot of time out there, and it was a big part of my life and remains a big part of my life, and how my life moved on into broadcasting and everything. The experiences I had working with young players and their parents were just life moving me forward moments. And I do miss being out at the field sometimes. All right, 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. Is the number. Again, a reminder here, Gorgeous Gale, gorgeousgale.com, over 5555 Morningside Drive, home of the Liverpool Supporters Group. Get over there on the weekend, stop in for a pint and a bite, enjoy the outdoor patio. We did all those great live shows over there with Peter and everybody over at the Gorgeous Gale. Those are really, really good times over there during the World Cup this summer, so we appreciate the Gorgeous Gale. Also, I don't want you to forget that our first hour presenting sponsor is the Texas Children's Hospital. Hundreds of kids are diagnosed every year. It isn't a job. It's our life at Texas Children's Hospital. It's a not-for-profit organization, relies on generous donations from our friends in the community and beyond to help us provide high-quality programs and services. To that note, 501c charity, Curing Children's Cancer Fund, that's the charitable wing that raises funds for pediatric cancer research. Our great friend Tom Clare setting up a couple months ago in June.
wonderful visit with a legendary Manchester United goalkeeper at a banquet named Alex Stepney. And we raised some real nice funds and created some real awareness for the 501c charity, the Curing Children's Cancer Fund. Stay with us. More to come when we come back. We'll start with Raphael. We'll continue to take your calls. Third caller right now. You get a pair of tickets. Houston Dynamo, RSL this Saturday.
To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.
The birds fly a lot better than we do. See how they wheel and bank and fly? Perfect. All in one. Wings, body, tail, all in one.
You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Brought to you by Texas Children's Hospital. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios, here's Glenn Davis.
This is one cool song. Public Service Broadcasting. The name of the song is Spitfire. Good band.
This isn't exactly a bird I'm creating, is it? At least it's a curious old bird.
Quick word here for Tranquility Home Systems. My friend Jesse, THS will come out. They'll get you a free quote. They'll get you on your way to home theater installation. If you love sports, don't deny yourself. Get that home theater setup you need. He is a home theater expert to the stars. 20 years experience for Jesse. He's going to get you hooked up with the latest 4K video technology. It's www.ths3inc.com. Here is his personal phone number, 281-506-7822. My friends at Advantage BMW. Driven a BMW for years, have leased and owned from Advantage BMW. That's in Midtown. Now, I love the drive of a BMW. Who doesn't? It's the ultimate driving machine. 5 Series, love it. The other thing I love, though, down there at Advantage BMW Midtown is the customer service, second to none. They'll cover you with sales, service, finance. It can be done easy. Get the hometown advantage at Advantage BMW. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. Go down there, say hello to Philip, Justin, Sergio. These guys love soccer down there. Sergio was just out at the Circuit of the Americas testing out and driving all these BMWs. It looked amazing out there, that racetrack just outside of Austin. So our thanks to the guys down at Advantage BMW Midtown. Get down there. They love soccer. Support them. To the phone lines in Raphael. What do you have, Raphael?
Hey, Glenn. Hello?
Yes. Hey, Raphael. How are you?
I'm well. I just wanted to tell that last caller to keep sticking with what he's doing. Don't worry about the wins and losses. I've coached now for about 5 years, been licensed all 5 years, and no matter how pro or rec or whatever it is, if you can show progress in a young kid's game, being able to, you know, make a 5-yard pass turn into a quality cross by the end of the year or season, that's what you got to look for. You got to build confidence with the ball and on the field. That's what, as a parent, I would want.
Absolutely. And that's the message that we need to get out to parents. Do not judge the progress of your child based on wins and losses. It's on how they're adapting to the game, how they're growing in the game. Where are they technically? Are they taking people on off the dribble? Have they learned to combine with others? I mean, it's so disturbing when you hear somebody call in and tell us that a 12-year-old team is sitting a bunch of people in front of the goal. And if you want to know what's wrong with soccer in this country, that is. And whoever that person is, totally needs to be called out. And I hope somebody does that. And if you are a coach and you're a father or you're a mother coaching a team, don't be afraid to solicit help. If somebody told me to go out and start educating people about something I didn't know, the first thing I'm going to do is get someone who knows about it more than me. 713-780-3776.
Raphael, thank you very much for that phone call. Let's go to Lee. Lee, what's on your mind?
Hey there, how you doing?
Good, good.
So I was just wanting to follow up on the guy that called earlier. He's coaching the 12-year-old girl. And so I myself coached 12-year-old. Actually, I started coaching them when they were about six. And having never played, I can tell you, keep the foot on the ball. The more touches these kids have with the ball, the better off they'll be. And I think it was about 12 years old, or about the 12-year-old group, when we switched from rec to Division II level.
Yep, and, I'm listening.
It was right around then when I was always pretty good at strategy and identifying player strength. What I wasn't good at was technique because I never played. I didn't know some of the technique stuff. And so bring a trainer in. I always brought a trainer in at the beginning of the season and started the kids off with that. And, of course, I attended all that stuff and picked up as much as I could so that I could carry out some of the practices once we got done with the trainer. So,
well, you have to remember, mental development is still going on with 12-year-olds. And you're right. It's all about technique work. It's all about small group play. It's about keeping the areas condensed so there's a lot of contact with the ball. Look, if you're running in 90-degree heat and you're not touching a lot of a soccer ball in your training sessions, chances are you're not going to want to come back and play, okay? That's the other thing you have to do. This game has to be interesting. There is a natural built-in fascination for the ball, and it's up to a coach to nurture, grow, blossom that excitement around a ball and that excitement about the possibility that can continue to grow if trained correctly, that they can do all these different things with the ball at their feet. And then it ultimately gets implemented into more competitive environments and tactics as they get older. But you have to be inclined towards small group play. You got to make sure that a player's on the ball a lot of the time that they're at these training sessions. More contact with the ball, the better. It's a great message you sent, Lee, and I appreciate you calling in. Thank you.
Sure thing.
So good stuff from Lee there. It is all about contact. All right, so we can take more phone calls on player development if you like. 713-780-3776. What you don't do with 12-year-olds is stick a bunch of them in front of your goal. And then put one athlete up the field. Anybody doing that, if you're a parent and you got a kid on that team, you're not in the right environment. So that's a simple tip off there, and that's there's a red flag there. All right, let's go to A.J. De La Garza. Had an opportunity to catch up with him, the Dynamo right back last year. So good for the Dynamo. Tore his ACL on the mend. Played 45 minutes for RGV. Here's my interview with A.J. De La Garza. Well, you must be feeling in a good place now. This has been a grueling process coming back from the ACL injury.
Yeah, it's been a long road, but you know, from day one, really, the trainers and strength and conditioning guys have kind of told me they were expecting me to come back at 9 months after having done their research and obviously wanted me to prolong my career. So 9 months was kind of always the date they wanted me to come back.
Well, I think a lot of people want your career prolonged, and they want to see you back on the field. A.J. De La Garza also, remember, won all the MLS Cups with the Los Angeles Galaxy. You know, the process of coming back from an injury, it's a big mental process. How much of it is really on the athlete and the desire to get back?
It's 100% on ourselves. There's almost every day I'm in the gym or doing weights by myself. So, you know, you skip a rep, you skip sets, you skip anything and you're only hurting yourself. The trainers can only do so much and you got to want it for yourself. So for me, it was keeping that in mind. And, you know, I think everyone knows that I've been through something far worse than hurting my knee in my life. So for me mentally, it wasn't really a struggle until about a month ago when, you know, I had a little setback when I was, you know, set to return. But for me, you know, had him in too mental on me.
AJ De La Garza joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. So when you're on the outside and haven't been in your position and you're looking through your lens at the team, the schedule, the season, the games, what have you learned?
Well, hopefully I've learned how to defend better. You know, obviously my lens and my eyes are from the stands, and it's very easy to critique and to judge players from above and even going back on video and doing that. But it's clearly a lot different when you're in the moment and you're playing a game where you have to make literally a split-second decision on when to step, when to drop, when to go in for a tackle. And for us, making a timely tackle that doesn't cost us. It's been tough watching, but I'm here to do whatever I can to help this team in the last 12 games that we have, including Open Cup, to bring a trophy home and make a playoff push.
AJ, tell us about getting back on the field at RGV and what that meant to you and how that felt just personally.
Yeah, it felt good. I remember that day, any other game, I would try to visualize plays and run through my head. I would, I was obviously doing that, and then you know, try to take a little rest before the game, and I just couldn't do it. You know, I was too excited, too amped, and even in the game day, possession game before the game, I was buzzing around and yelling at guys. And I remember Todd, who was the captain on the team, said, "We have two more games of this, so two more possession games after this one." So I was like, "Oh, so you want me to relax a little bit?" So it's been a long time, and well, thankfully all the hard work has paid off, and I know it's not done yet, and I got to continue to build strength and obviously get better on the field. Obviously being out for 9 months, I got to get my touch back and reading the game back and everything to help out.
So the fringe benefit, I'm thinking, for the RGV players as well is, hey, AJ De La Garza's here. And I'm sure that meant a lot to some of these young guys that are rubbing shoulders with you and taking a lead from a guy with experience on your level.
Yeah, I would hope so. Just trying to help out wherever I can, give some advice if needed. And obviously these kids are, some are 19, 20 years old, and they have a bright future ahead of them, and they're in a position where they need to make the most of their opportunity. And when I was a rookie in this league, we didn't even have a reserve team or reserve league even. So they can take advantage of these games, and playing in places like Sacramento where you have 10,000 fans is good to see for those guys.
AJ De La Garza joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. All right, from the outside looking in, you know, the Dynamo this year played some good games on the road. I think the Columbus game was a solid game, an executed game plan, the misfortune of conceding in stoppage time. But the fact is a lot of goals have been conceded late. How much of this is just down to injury, rotation of players, and a lack of a consistent back four throughout the year in your mind?
I think as professionals, first of all, we can use every excuse if we want to, but at the end of the day, we have put this on ourselves, really. The mistakes we've made, you know, guys not being on the same page, the fouls we commit, the list can go on. And those are the things that we can fix. We can't fix a referee or, a lucky bounce here or there. We got to fix the things that we are doing wrong. It's simple as that. And if you look back at this year, we've probably given up 15-plus points on goals that have come after the 80th minute. So we just got to get better at finishing games off.
AJ, as you look at the league now, and as someone that's been in the league for quite some time, it's changed in a lot of ways. The bar is getting raised higher by some of these new teams coming into the league and new market. Is it pretty remarkable for you to see, the change in Major League Soccer and the areas that continue to kind of platform up?
Yeah, I think it's pretty incredible just to see the fan bases of these new clubs coming in. Are obviously Atlanta setting the bar very high, and you know, it's good to see you're getting these top quality players who are now coming here in their 20s, or even in Barco's case, a teenager. So we're just going to keep continuing to grow, and you know, one day I do think this will be one of the top leagues in the world.
AJ, last one before we let you go, and it goes back to you. When do you think we could potentially see you on the field? I mean, are you cleared now 100% to be available for selection, or is there still some, you know, some other sort of thresholds that you got to pass before you're ultimately ready 100%?
No, I think I'm 100% now. I don't think they would put me in a game even with RGV if I wasn't 100%. So I guess now it's kind of in their court, the coach's decision, the trainers, and wondering if I need more minutes in USL, and or, you know, can I play a part here now? This is the most crucial part of the season now, and obviously I want to be here, so I just got to figure that out. I don't have a answer totally right now where I'll be this weekend, but hopefully it's one of those two places.
And I assume you felt good in the RGV game.
Yeah, I did. I felt really good. You know, more so than my knee. It was the quad that had set me back a month ago that I was more worried about. But, you know, I made a few long-distance runs just to test it out, and felt pretty good. And for the most part, I'm happy with the way the 45 minutes went. And I even asked Gerson if I can go more, and he told me no, though. So.
Well, how about the soccer brain? I mean, does that come back pretty quickly?
Yeah, I don't think you ever lose the brain. You might lose the touch, but some guys on my team are telling me you can't lose something that you never had. So,
man.
Maybe I haven't lost my touch. But,
yeah, you've got a good touch. I've seen your touch. You're fine.
Yeah, but I think the soccer brain is just natural. So I think we could use a little bit more of that on the field right now, and late in games, just, you know, keeping guys communicating and connected and whatever it may be, but I'll do whatever I can do for this team in the last 12 games to play a part and play any role I can.
AJ, thank you very much for taking the time. Welcome back. Glad to see you back on the field. I know it was not an easy process, and everybody's marveled at your game since you came here to Houston, so wishing you the best of luck and getting out there again real soon.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right. That's AJ De La Garza. A moment here again for the Texas Children's Hospital, our first hour presenting sponsor. We can't thank them enough. Texas Children's Cancer and Hematology Center is the largest pediatric cancer center in the country. Over 190 physicians and scientists, 46 laboratories, and 200 active clinical trials dedicated solely to childhood cancer and blood disorders. For more than 60 years, Texas Children's Hospital, pioneering many of the now standard protocols for treating and curing childhood cancer. So again, our thanks to the Texas Children's Hospital. We're going down there, Freddie Reyes and I, to hand out soccer balls on Friday. Going to be a great day down there. Looking forward to visiting with patients and dropping off the magic of a soccer ball, courtesy of my good friend Joe Ellsmore at Nike. Texas Children's Hospital, by the way, not for profit. It relies on generous donations from our friends in the community. Their 501c charity wing is the Curing Children's Cancer Fund, cccfund.org. Check it out. We're going to take a Bud Light break. When we come back, I've got Tom Marshall of ESPN FC. We're going to talk everything Liga MX. We're going to talk a little Mexico-Uruguay coming here. Right now, I remind you, the Dynamo in action against RSL on Friday. HoustonDynamo.com for your tickets. Thursday, Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup tickets go on sale. $29 is the lowest ticket price there. And right now, you want to be a hero to your friends? 10-pack of Houston Dash tickets at 713-780-3776 for caller number 5. 10-pack.
Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue, Houston.
The very best days.
ESPN 97.5.
Set no substitute.